Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our third attempt at the intro again. Brent Gill, Jake Becker here, Brooktown Garage. Good to hear you again. We got a giggly episode today. It's the first one of the new year. Today we're talking about Porsche fuel again and seeing how we think Bob Lutz would talk about it and how he feels about it. EV swapped old cars. We're talking about it. And then we also talk about other things that I forgot about already.
I deleted them because I'm terrible because I was already getting ready for the next episode and I just realized what I had done.
That's okay. We talked about
Bub Lutz's feeling on Porsche's fuel finally. Yes. And then that's mostly it.
Yeah, that's about it, I think, too. It's a good app.
So the three-cylinder bad boy.
We didn't talk about it.
We did a little bit. The Nissan one.
Yeah, but we talked about it on the one that we deleted.
No, I have 20 minutes of that I'm going to use.
Okay. Okay, then we also talked about the Nissan three-cylinder 40-kilogram motor that produces 400 horsepower. It's good stuff. It's a heavy edit for Jake, so thank you, Jake, for your time and your service. Let's get into the episode, baby. It's January 2nd. Come on.
Blistering. Smoking Tire got a 91 Bentley, and I'm so mad.
Yeah, I saw. I figured you weren't stoked. It's a bad idea.
How about this
59 what?
The 59 Corvette that's powered by an LS7.
Is it a black one? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's for sale right now, or is it going to auction?
It's Barrett Jackson.
Yeah. I think there's a buy it now price on that fucker still, though. Or maybe the listing got taken down.
Looks sick. Also, I don't know what this 40-kilogram, 1.5-liter, 400-horsepower motor is. This dude in Japan made this, Nissimo. It's the DIG-TR 1.5-liter engine, this thing.
Mm-hmm. No, I saw it. It's pretty
cool.
What the fuck
is this?
I don't know. It's probably one of those motors they're going to put into a...
like a smart car?
No, well, yeah. What do you call those hybrids? A sequential hybrid, a sequence hybrid.
Oh.
Like a Lucid. No, not like a Lucid. Like the new Karmas, not the Fisker Karmas, but the Karmas without Fisker that aren't going to go bankrupt this time. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Okay. Where you have a motor in the car, but the motor is only used to power the generator.
Oh.
So you don't have to charge in an EV station. You just fill up with gas and keep driving as an electric.
Oh. I mean, this thing says it's 400 pounds. It's 400 horsepower.
Yeah, but it's that light, and it probably doesn't have a ton of resistance. Like, that's kind of like what's that other one that's dry? That's why I was so impressed that other one was like zero lube, air cooled. That Koenigsegg.
Oh, the free valve.
Yeah, that's like part of what's impressive about that thing is like. It's getting feedback. Like that thing has a drive shaft and a fucking rear end and shit hooked up to it that's giving it feedback and it's able to maintain that amount of power. Because you could, in theory, build an engine that's not hitting any resistance and just lube it right and run the fuck out of it. Do you get what I mean? That's why engine stand numbers are so much different than brake numbers that are so much different than wheel numbers. Is that all that shit's parasitic and it's also tough on your engine. Cause if you think about it, that's like throwing a weighted backpack on your engine while it runs uphill. So I don't know. I saw a little bit about that thing. I don't know enough about it to be super informed, but I imagine that's going to be a motor that's part of a sequence of motors or a bike motor. But I'd be blown the fuck away if that thing powered cars on its own. From some independent energy. It could change the world.
Seems like you could give that four-cylinder LS a run for its money.
Fuck no. I just, like, there's no way it can.
You don't think so, huh?
No. I mean, it's three cylinders, right?
What, this?
The little dinky boy.
I don't know what it is. I guess it does kind of look like three cylinders.
I think it's three cylinders, which has ass.
The Koenigsegg was three cylinders.
Yeah, it's bad timing. It'll wear itself out.
Just because three cylinders don't work?
Yeah, there's not a good way to time three cylinders where the rod's not being jacked around.
And that's what you're talking about. The balance of the LS is so perfect.
Yeah, it's also
why. And a V12.
Yeah, and it's also why VW Audi have been fucking kooky forever for building their five bangers. Like, you can't balance
it. And Volvo? Yeah, those Volvo five cylinders last forever. And like, there's million mile five cylinder motors.
They're also not squeezing those motors, Brent.
What do you mean?
They're not putting any squeeze on those motors for power. They're getting a very conservative number out of what they could build on them.
So they last a long time.
Yeah. The tighter an engine is, the less long it should last in theory, because you have more friction. And friction and heat are what wears out all machines. So
I understand this.
The looser the parameters are on your motor, the less efficient it will be at making power, but the longer it'll last making that inefficient power.
Okay. This makes sense.
So there's a fine line you dance dialing it in. That's why you'll see guys with fucking, you know, 700-800 horsepower LS3 setups that are naturally aspirated. And it works, but they've got a fucking 70-pound flywheel. And it's a bitch to drive because it's just wonked all the way the fuck out. Because it's that tight that everything has to be engaging and hooking up when it goes for it to work that good. So then when you're trying to, like, feather it around a corner, it's kind of a bitch.
Because it's so tight.
Yeah, the machinery is running tighter. Everything's running on less of a tolerance. So when you're not doing exactly what it's supposed to do, you feel that you're out of tolerance. Like, you feel that you're not doing what it's supposed to do.
Interesting. Hey, read this article on that I sent you. They're running this motor at the 24-hour of Le Mans,
That three-cylinder?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's an engine to complement electric power plants. So without reading this, I assumed exactly correctly. This thing... this thing's going to power the generator that keeps the electric motor powered enough to run is exactly what I'm sure of what's going on.
I didn't pick that up.
Oh, it says they both run through the same 5-speed gearbox. So maybe it is an assist, or maybe it has different modes. So depending on where they are in the race, they can do different things. Because that's the problem with racing EVs. Is that once you run low on the fucking battery, what do? Switch cars? That ain't legal.
Right.
You going to charge for 20 minutes and let your cells cool down for optimal running and charging conditions? Like, kind of sucks. So the sequential hybrid is kind of the best way to race and long distance EVs.
So basically it's just admitting that EVs don't work. It's like, hey, we need a gas generator to power this so this EV can keep running.
Yeah, dude. I'm so excited for the hellscape that's going to exist if they do mandate everybody go to electric cars.
It's going to be nuts. That's why there's going to be, like, in I Am Legend. They're just, like, cars everywhere. It's just a bunch of broke. That's what I think it would be.
Yeah. Dude, the whole country's grid's going to be crashing all the time like it's Texas. You know?
Yeah.
Constant power outages, people not being able to travel. It takes 30 minutes to charge up your Tesla on a quick charge, but what if there's two people in front of you at the fucking charger? That's 90 minutes, dog.
Yeah. Oh, we definitely got to talk about the E36 that you might buy at the end of the pod. Because Jake wants to buy another car because two broken down cars isn't enough.
Three. I have three right now. I had four, but I sold one.
Smart move. Smart move.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, that's how it happens. But what are you going to do? What'd you do for New Year's, buddy? It's brand new 2024. This is recorded on January 2nd. So of our Lord and Savior.
January 2nd.
Jan 2nd.
I thought you said 22nd, but I think you just did say 2nd. My brain's being dumb.
It could be. I mean, both of us ripped like 6 dabs before we started the podcast. It's true. So it we spent about 30 minutes recording our conversation of something podcast related, but just like back end podcast related. Yeah,
very producer notes.
Yeah, we're like, we should stop and record this again and do a podcast. Yeah. So what'd you do for New Year's? Because it's January 2nd. I had a hilarious New Year's, and I'm excited to hear what you did, because you already told me, but I want you to tell the podcast.
I'm excited to hear what you did, too, because we realized there was a microphone debacle right before.
Yeah.
After I answered it, before we discussed it. But I went out, I took myself out to dinner alone at 5 p.m.
The AARP special. Yep,
it was the only reservations left at the Hilton for their prefix meal. And I had a salad and a stuffed quail. Ooh, and a
stuffed quail? What was the stuffed
chorizo with? And then it was wrapped in bacon and it came with this raspberry sauce and it fucked real hard.
Oh my God.
It was extremely fucking good, dude.
What?
And then I had hands down the best prime rib I've ever had in my life. And I like me a prime rib. I've had many. Yeah. Oh, dude.
So what made this so good? Because I'm not a prime rib fan unless it's on a sandwich.
It was just cooked perfect. It was so raw. It was so tender. It was so delicious. It had so much flavor. The au jus they served on the side was amazing. The horseradish was delicious.
Do you season a prime rib?
Salt and pepper on the rind when you throw it in the oven. I think some people do like rosemary.
Okay, so not a ton.
No, it's very much just eating beef.
It was just a good cut of meat.
Yeah, it was a great cut of meat, and it was cooked really well. Like, I ate all the gristle. It was very good.
That's how you know it's a good cut of meat.
Yeah, when I'm eating the fat because it tastes like the meat. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking good. Dude, I had this steak in Texas at my cousin's house, and he lives out in the middle of fucking nowhere. And it was the best, still to this day. And I've had $90 steaks with Spade before, and I'm like, this still to this day, my cousin's wife made the best steak, and it's because the fat was so good. I never eat the fat. I never eat the fat. I get a ribeye. And I cut out the fat.
What? That's an animal move. You get it marbled so that you don't have to deal with it just on the edge, like on a strip or a T-bone where it's all one big chunk. The ribeye's got
it. I don't like the grizz. I mean, I know it's got it everywhere, so I'll eat that. But like the chunks of the sides, I'll always cut the actual gristle. Off,
okay,
right?
I thought you meant you were like surgically ripping a ribeye apart.
No. That would be so annoying. Can I get a smaller knife, please?
I need a ribeye
and a little oyster fork.
Yeah, I was going to say an oyster fork and an X-Acto knife. Thank you, ma'am.
She used like teriyaki. It was like some weird mixture, but it had ketchup in there. I do remember that, and that blew my mind. But it was like crispy, and the fat was fucking it was like eating
butter.
And
there was red pepper flake in it.
I don't know if there's red pepper in there. It was she's from Philippines, so it was some like Filipino.
That's why I asked. I was gonna say I lived with a Korean kid, and I know a very similar steak marinade. When you said ketchup and soy in teriyaki, I was like, he did that, and then it was red pepper flake, and I mean like a lot of red pepper flake.
Oh yeah, that sounds good.
And then you in butter, and then he'd soak the steak in it for like 2 hours. It wasn't like an overnight marinade or anything. And it, fuck, dude, it was so good. And then he'd serve it with strawberry jelly. And the first time he handed that to me, I was like, "Do you smoke a little too much there, Maddie?" And he was like, "No, what?
Strawberry jelly."
What? And I was like, "Did you just give me strawberry jelly with my fucking steak?" And he was like, "Try it, asshole." And then I had some and I was like, "Well, there's going to always be a jar of strawberry jelly in Jake's fridge because holy shit." Do a little horseradish, a little strawberry jelly. Ooh.
Yeah.
A steak.
See, now, we had lamb for Christmas dinner, and my mom does mint jelly with that. which is good. I also like me a habanero jelly with some cream cheese or some fucking some good cheese on a cracker.
Yeah, dude. Ah! There's all kinds of good pepper jellies down here.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big fan of
it's
that.
It's real good, but just straight up like Smucker's strawberry jelly or jam, the one with the fruit chunks.
Me making fun of you about eating alone is not making fun of you about eating alone. It's a laugh of I have done that before, and it is it's pretty.
Oh,
fun.
It's the best, and
it's kind of fun to pamper.
And
yourself.
Everyone there is like a couple that's like going way out, and I'm in shorts with my sleeves rolled up, and I mean cleaning every fucking dollop of food they gave me, and then I had a tiramisu. At
yeah.
The end.
Oh, there you go.
Dude, it was killer, and it was $45.
That's insane.
It was nuts.
That's insane.
It was nuts.
I would have done that. $45. I would do that out tomorrow.
For us, a giant salad, a stuffed quail, like one of the biggest prime ribs I've had with mashed potatoes and asparagus, and then a tiramisu. And a drink that I didn't want.
That's insane. $45?
Yeah, dude.
I was about to tell a story about when I went out for Christmas alone, but it was not $45 fucking dollars. I spent $45 at Snarf's today buying sandwiches for me and my buddy.
Nice.
I mean, fuck.
Dude, that rules. I've done that as well. I've also spent more than $45 on one meal at the deli here.
Yeah, $45 is a
steal. Yeah, it was insane. Well done. It was nuts.
Well done.
Yeah.
I on one Christmas when I was working for Apple, I had to work the next day, like on Christmas Day, because of course everyone gets their toys and they want to play with it and all that shit. And so I didn't go out I didn't go to my parents for Christmas that year. And I went to Capitol Grill alone, and I walked there because I'll still live in Cap Hill. And this is a fancy steakhouse in downtown Denver, right next to the Comedy Works. And I get there, and my mom's like, she's like, "What time's your reservation?" I was like, "Oh, I didn't make one." She's like, "You didn't make a reservation for Christmas Eve?" And I was like, "No.
I'm alone.
Why would I? It's just me." She goes, "Do you know how many people eat out on Christmas?" I was like, "No." And I get there and it's fucking packed, dude. It's so full. And I was so excited, and it just got deflated. And I was like, "Oh no, I ruined my own Christmas. Fuck, dude, this blows." And I was like, "Is there anything?" And so the girl set me up in the lounge, like the bar lounge area, in the Godfather seat. So it's like at the corner of the bar. I could see the entire restaurant, and I had just one table, tiny little fucking table. And I spent $240-something on myself. Yep. I mean, it was awesome.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And I had coupons from Comedy Works, too. Even with the coupons, I spent
that
much. Damn,
that's good work.
It was dope.
That is good work.
It was dope. Yeah. So, but that's all you did? You just did that and got high?
Then I came home. I watched Chappelle's new special and ate a bunch of edibles.
Okay.
And then after eating all that food and the edibles and the comedy special, I was pretty high. I think I went to bed at like 10:30.
That's some old man shit. Dude.
But I also had work the next day because, again, I work for the internet company. So people want all their shit hooked up and their PS5 to be able to do upload speeds fast enough, you know. So all the holidays day after we work. So I had to go in at 5:45 in the morning. And then they cut us all at noon because it was so slow. It's like, yeah, no shit.
Wow.
It's New Year's Day, not
that sucks.
December 20 fucking 6th.
Yeah, that sucks. That sucks. Well, I was up till 4:30 in the morning.
Whoa.
And I woke up at 7:30 in the morning. So here's my New Year's Eve, 31th. Here's what I did the 31st.
Is this the day you went to the special gown room?
Emergency room? Yep. So I wake up, go to the emergency room. I get there around 8 o'clock.
What happened was?
So my back is extra fucked up. And I can't, and I needed, so I go to the ER. My leg is falling asleep, all this stuff. Go to the ER. I'm there for 9 hours. 9 hours.
Oh, yeah.
We do an MRI. And I'm just chilling for 9 hours. And I'm like, I finally get up. I'm like, "Hey, guys, I got a show in Boulder tonight that I have to get." I had a sold out show in Boulder. And I was like, "I got to go. Can I get but so, it, like anything. So I left. I was able to leave the hospital at 5 p.m. I go home. I shower. I get to Boulder at 6:30. I try to get there at 6. We have a sold out show. I do my show, and then I drive, and my back is fucked. Okay. Yeah. And then I drive from Boulder to, I drive from Boulder to Fairplay, Colorado, 2.5 mm-hmm. hours. I was thinking about the injection that they gave me, in the hospital, and then about my results. That's why I stalled there for a mm-hmm. second. Sorry. I was like, God, I think my back's fucked. I hope I don't have to get surgery. Here we are. So I drive to Fairplay to meet our boy, Sammy T. And Bori and his wife, Sam's wife, Emily, and all the people, you know, the folks that we always kind of go out with. And then I proceeded to drink, a half gallon of mushroom tea.
Oh no.
It wasn't a half gallon, but I was drinking it all night long. No. And it was awesome, no. dude. I haven't laughed this hard in so long. We were so good. I made the best batch of tea, dude. It was such a cool blue color that I was like, I want a car this color. Like it looked, everyone was scared yeah. of it. And then me and Mel and like, Luke and Bor, like everyone was like, all right, fine. We'll start. I was like, I'm drinking it, you pussies. And, it was delicious. It tasted good, smelled terrible. But tasted good. We put a lot of orange in there and, some cuties. You put like 5 cuties in there and some agave nectar.
Oh, good. So you vitamin C spiked it. So the drugs that hit harder. Nice. Okay.
Well, of course. Yeah. Duh. And then Sophie is fucking drunk and hates us because we're all high and she's drunk. And she's like, you guys are fucking idiots. And we're like, maybe you should go to bed. She did not like that. And then the whole time I'm like, well, at least I know that Sam will like fucking shut her down if she gets too mad. It was very, very fun. I had a blast. Everyone, like 2 people got stuck on the drive down. And I was blasting up in that Subaru that I hate.
Yeah.
And we turn into this dirt road and I'm flocking because I got there like 13 minutes before midnight.
Oh no.
So I'm like trying to fly up there. And at one point I like, my car just goes sideways. I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's, you know, I guess this is more frozen than I thought. The next day I'm driving home. It's all snow and ice.
Yeah.
I was just bombing up snow and ice. And I was like, well, this all wheel drive and tire combination's actually pretty good. Yeah. If I only went sideways once with how fast I was going and how icy this shit is. And then the next day, me and my other buddy in Denver ate more mushrooms.
Jesus.
It got super high again yesterday.
You know what they say is good for back pain?
So I've been on mushrooms for 2 days.
Is mushrooms. Poisoning your spinal cord. They say that's the way to do it.
Wait, is that where the poison goes? In my spinal cord? That's probably why the meds weren't working. Because my thought was, I don't want to drink with the meds. I want
to interact directly.
I didn't know it goes directly into my fucking spine.
Yeah, your body stores whatever byproduct.
I thought that was acid.
Are you special?
Not mushrooms.
So you think they're different groupings of drugs? You think they work different? On
yeah.
Your, one's
natural.
One's LSH and one's LSD.
What? Yeah,
they're the same shit.
Isn't it LSP, like psilocybin? Lysergic psilocybin.
I wish I knew what the H stood for so I could make you sound less smart, but I just... one's like, it's lysergic... What is it?
I don't know.
I forget what the D is, but the H is just a variant. It's the natural one that's in psilocybin and ergot and all that shit.
Oh, it's like MDA and MDMA.
Sure. I don't know much about that one.
I just heard about it at a store I was at one time.
Okay. But yeah, so you were just doing the natural version, which gives you actual like poison reactions, which is why people have such stomach problems on mushrooms.
Oh, I took a terrible shit afterwards. It was awesome.
Yeah, because you're getting food. You're like, you're getting high off of the plant's natural defenses. So like part of that is that it's supposed to make you not ever eat it again. And that's,
oh no, but it does the opposite.
Right. In fact. Because we're weird monkeys, but like, that's part of why like acid doesn't usually fuck your tummy up at all. And mushrooms more than likely do all the time. Where even if you don't get sick, you have a grisly shit or,
yeah,
you know, you kind of don't feel, you feel queasy. How many bad trips have you had that started with you going like, oh,
yeah,
everything's wrong. I have to fart in my chest. I don't know what's happening. Like, yeah, it's, you're full on poisoned and your brain's trying to reconcile that while you're also like, broken brained and seeing, that's the man, I get so mad when people talk about hallucinogens, like I saw God and it was like a religious experience. Like, oh yeah, have you ever left the shutter open on a camera? Why? You dipshit.
Oh,
we know what your brain did.
Yeah,
you quit processing things in sequence and it started to do weird shit, which is what happens with light and probably all other senses all the time.
You've never seen God?
No, and I've done heroic doses.
You've never figured out the world? I figured out the world, and then I forgot it when I woke up.
I've been high on all,
but I was like, ah, oh, this all makes
all
sense.
All kinds of shit, and thought I figured stuff out. That doesn't mean I did.
You did. You have to give yourself the faith, Jake.
No, that's how you end up being Jim Morrison.
Like, fair, I guess.
Having faith in your own hallucinations. I get that a lot of people are just sweet people, so their takeaways like, I should be better to other people and we're all one. But like, no, like I'm an animal. I'll think of terrible plans while I'm high on mushrooms.
We need to keep those out of your body then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm prone to bad trips too. But also back when I used to trip all the time, that was before like this mushroom revolution where now everybody's like, I eat like a little bit and just get a body high. Cause we were like, I eat a half ounce and try to see Sasquatch.
Yeah. That's when I went like the most in college when I was a freshman one time, I was like, you know what? I'm going to see what happens when I eat a quarter of mushrooms. And I ate a quarter at one time. Cause I want to see if I could break my brain or how well my brain could work. And, it kind of makes you feel better about life when you're like, my brain rules.
Yeah. It also makes you like hate it though. When you're like, I spent last night in fear for 8 hours. I was just fearful that this was never going to end.
No, I normally don't get like that. I from the beginning of drugs, I kind of knew it would always end. So anyway, welcome to our new podcast, Broke Down Rehab. We're anyway, it was a fun new year and I'm excited for this new year. Excited for the pod. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about today.
Yeah.
First of all, we promised from the last episode that we would talk about the Porsche Fuel and Bob Lutz. So, Jake, quick recap, who's Bob Lutz? And then what's the Porsche Fuel that we're talking about? And then my question is, what do you think Bob Lutz thinks about it? Go.
Okay. If God was like solely responsible for cars and power and he was like busy for like all 6 days of creation during the 60s and like that was like the Old Testament, then Bob Lutz was Jesus who came back like way later in the story and then made everybody believe in what God stood for back in the Old Testament, but in a kinder way. He was the he's just like the best CEO in Detroit since Iacocca and fucking DeLorean back in the day. And those guys turned into frogs. So
Ribbit.
He ran Dodge and took it serious about getting, or Chrysler, and took it serious about getting them a sports car program in place in the late 80s and created he mostly created the Shelby Say Dodge it. Program with the Omni, yes, and the SLH and the GLH, I think. I forget. They're cool. They're fast, but they're front wheel drive turbo cars that suck that they did so that they could work on the Viper. And then they built the Viper and then Chrysler pissed him off. So he left and went to General Motors and was over at General Motors.
God save the king. That's right,
the real ones. And he went over to General Motors and started doing like normal day-to-day work there as their new CEO or head of operations. I forget what his technical term was. I think he was CEO. And then the government forced GM and BMW to both like invest a bunch of money into this research on hydrogen. And it,
why was it just them? Because I remember you telling me this. Why was it just them?
I don't know why they chose those two back then. It was probably had to do with their income levels. And BMW, you know, everybody forgets that all those SUVs are built in Tennessee. You know? So they
we lost them.
You lost me?
Yeah.
Am I back now?
Yeah. Okay.
So everybody forgets that BMW builds all their SUVs in Tennessee, I believe. Maybe it's Kentucky, but I think it's Tennessee.
Okay.
And so they're an American manufacturer, really. Like they have a whole manufacturer wing and American business over here so that they can sell SUVs here without paying tariffs.
Okay.
So they had to play ball with the government too on research projects. Okay. So they spend all the
hydrogen
fuel, and they spend all this money, and it wasn't fruitful, and it was a giant amount of money. I think it was like $1 billion, but that could just be my 13-year-old brain remembering it that way. But Bob Lutz goes up at this fucking press conference. It was on Speed Network back in those days, and was just like, "Hi, I hope everybody's enjoying the show. The government just forced me to spend this amount of money on hydrogen research, and it wasn't fruitful. So I promised to have a rear-wheel drive 400 horsepower Cadillac on the market by April." And then he did.
The man, the myth, the Bob.
Yeah. And then he
the Lutz.
Yeah, and then he brought back the GTO and the Camaro and made the Corvette crazy fuck you fast on top of just being already fuck you fast. They started the Z51 project or the ZL1 project, and now the Zora project, and all that shit was done under his direction or started under his direction. He took all the Monaro, all the Holden shit from Australia, where they never gave up the ghost, where they were always like, "I want to go fast." And so he brought over all their tech and just fucking made it better. And reinvented the power game, because really it's hard to put a specific car on it, but it's really like the WRX and the CTS-V were the cars that came out that proved like, oh fuck, people want this. Like, it's not just a bunch of rednecks saying they want it that aren't going to spend the money. Like, normal people want this shit. People want fast cars. So that happening really changed the market and the landscape, and Lutz is mostly responsible for that, because Subaru didn't even have the balls to give us the real one. So
Lutz was in charge, was with General Motors when the government pushed for hydrogen fuel research. They did the research, said it doesn't work. Bob Lutz got mad that he had to waste all that money, and then here we are. He created amazing cars.
See, yeah. Knowing what I know about Bob Lutz, though, he wasn't mad he spent that money. He was mad he spent that time. Bob Lutz was mad he spent an amount of time as a human being working towards green cars. I think that genuinely was what pissed him off, was that he had spent 2 years of corporate energy not developing a 400 horsepower rear wheel drive Cadillac. Like, I think, like, to him, that was bad business. Like, I know how to make money, and you motherfuckers make me do this shit that's not making money, and I can go out here and print the money. You want to watch me do it? Fucking see you at the sales floor in April. Like, I really think that's what it was. I don't think it was so much the money that had gone away as, like, the potential money they threw away while also spending money. Because he couldn't just build hot rods. Like, I think he's been offended since he was a young man that his job isn't just hot rod extraordinaire.
So what do you think he thinks about Porsche's deal that's happening right now? It's Porsche is making fuel right now. And the people I've talked to have said this fuel is never going to work. Even though Mr. Bean is all about it, even though they're running it in cup, in the Porsche Cup cars, even though they're selling it in Brazil, they still say that the fuel companies are going to squash it. But what do you think Bob Lutz thinks about this? Because it's basically, it's hydrogen fuel is basically what it is. It's algae-based fuel, isn't it? What Porsche is making?
You're so weird. But yeah, I'm sorry. I cut out.
That's what happens with Zooms.
I cut out when you were saying that you've talked to people that don't think this is going to work, even though Mr. Bean thinks it'll work, and I'll think it'll work, and the people that almost took over the planet twice in 10 years think it'll work.
That's correct. Uh-huh. Yeah. We should get him on and talk to him about it. He's the new engineer for Deenan.
Oh, I'd love to talk to him for a lot of reasons, but very much so because
he built my car.
I'd love to argue about, I know that's so cool. I'd love to talk to him about why he doesn't think this fuel that's better in every measurable way and more stable will work.
That's what he said.
But why does he say that?
The concept won't work. I think he said the concept won't work. I think he said because there's too much money invested in oil right now. There's too much infrastructure from fossil fuels, BP.
You're right, Shell, dude. And the whole world, the whole corporate world loves being in business with the Saudis. It's like everybody's favorite part of going to work as a Fortune 500 company is dealing with the Saudis. Nobody's excited to get rid of them and to just deal with Siemens.
Well, what do you think Bob thinks about this?
Because the only infrastructure that changes is what dock those tankers go to. It's still the same shit.
What do you mean it's the same shit?
Like they're producing that shit at their production facility. So the only difference is where it comes out of. It's still liquid. It's still being transported in barrels on boats. Like nothing about the infrastructure around it other than drills change.
No, that's what I meant. Like all the there's a shitload of there's more money in the drilling and that stuff than there is in the shipping of it.
Okay. No.
Well, that's not what we were talking about. We're going to talk to Matt about that.
Yeah. Okay. Because all the money gets made when OPEC sells it.
OPEC.
So all the money's not in drilling it. The money gets made after it gets sold refined.
You down with OPEC, Peck?
No fucking heckin' way, man. I'm down with Porsche. But yeah. But Bob Lutz has got to be rock hard. I bet that dude's at his like little cool house on a racetrack that he owns all privately or something. Just Pingo Jones, just walking around with his fucking sweatpants on, rock hard, scaring the neighbors. And when they're like, "What are you doing, Bob?" He's like, "Have you heard what Porsche is doing? They're keeping the spirit alive."
So you think he's pumped for it? So you don't think that he's mad that it didn't work or that he had to waste his money on it? You think he's just mad that he wasted time not developing a fast car for a technology he knew what was it was not going to work? You think he probably did want it to work?
Oh, I bet he would have been happy if it worked because he would have been able to build faster hydrogen cars. That motherfucker just likes speed. He went hat in hand when he ran Chrysler to fucking Carroll Shelby to be like, "Hey, man, please help me build a V10 supercar. I know we build K cars, but they gave me the job and I want to go fast. Can you give a cripple crab a crutch? Let's go fucking do this, dog." And then Carol was like, "What am I going to have to do?" And they're like, "You're going to have to build some shitty Dodges so we can prove concept to these assholes. But I'm telling you, man, you do business with me, we're going to build something to make D. Tomoso wet their fucking britches." And he was like, "Okay. Line them up, country music. Let's go." And then they went out there and they fucking got after it and built a Lamborghini machine built in the United States that just tore shit up. But yeah, like I think he's always been driven by the idea, like, they let me be in charge. Y'all want to see something cool? Like I think that's been it. So anytime that when he's in charge, they're actually demanding him, like, "Well, we need you to actually participate in this federal research where we're going to look into alternative fuel sources." And he's like, "Well, how much time does that leave me to build hot rods over at Cadillac?" And they're like, "None." And he's like, "Oh, okay. I guess I like this job. It pays a lot. My kids go to a good school." And then he finds out that that project that made him sad the whole time was a waste of time. And then he's like, fuck you. I'm going to make the fastest cars you ever seen. Like, that's what I think all of his internal processing is, dude, is that he was just ready to fucking go fast the second that he was in charge. It was like, man, why did I have to be a teenager when cars were slow? Watch what I'm going to do right before I retire. I'm going to build luxury cars that are rocket ships, and then everyone else is going to participate.
So he worked in the GTO, the Viper, the Corvette. What else did he do? He brought Carroll Shelby in to Chrysler. When did he retire?
I don't know. That's a good question.
He's still alive, right?
Yeah, it wasn't super long ago. I love that when you put in his name, it pulls up with Bob Lutz GM. Because he did
so I much see Bob Lutz Businessman.
They wrote an article still at Haggerty. Yeah, August 4th.
That's so funny.
He's still smarter than everyone else.
Bob Lutz at 90 is still smarter than everybody else. That's so funny.
Goddamn right. He began his automotive career at GM in September 1963, where he held senior leadership positions in Europe until December 1971. And then he was at BMW. Dude, he's a fucking legend. Like his the shit that when I read it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. He was even better. He was at Opel after he was in the Marines, and then he went to BMW as executive vice president of sales for 3 years. And helped develop the idea of the 3 series.
Wow.
And the M division was his idea. Then he went over to be an executive vice president at Ford in Ford Europe, where he created the Escort 3 and the fucking Sierra. You might know it as Sierra Cosworth, which is a bat out of hell.
Which also, too, I hate to say this, but the Ford Explorer, which is one of the arguably the most successful SUVs of all time.
And it was a genius move. He put a whole new body on the Ranger so that people wouldn't associate it with the truck that was already associated with Mazdas. And they've continued to build it on the Ranger up until they got rid of the Ranger. And then he moved over to Chrysler, ran their global product development, including the Viper. I'm sure we're reading the same wiki article here.
Yeah.
Iacocca fucking said he should have picked Lutz as a successor instead of Eaton because Eaton fucked everything up. And then he championed the import of the Holden Monaro as the Pontiac GTO, the Cadillac 16 concept. He built the Sky and the Solstice, the G8, the Malibu, the CTS, the Enclave, and the Cadillac Converge, which were pretty cool. The CTS Coupe, the Camaro. All those fucking concept studies, which they really hadn't done since like the 60s.
And the Buick LaCrosse and the Equinox, which are also trash. They're not all great.
No, I mean, that platform's great. The Buick and Chevy just didn't put good motors in it. Cadillac did. You can get an SRX.
The SRX is dope. Yeah,
it's the same car. They're just different panels and motors. Yeah.
Lutz has also emphasized the need to produce fuel-efficient vehicles backing the Chevy Volt.
Yeah, he was like in 2008, he said it's inevitable and wanted to start doing the project hardcore. He's a bad motherfucker. Now he's the head of Lutz Communications and chairman of the New Common School Foundation, but he retired in 2010.
Wow.
And he's working on nanosteel now that's invested in by GM Ventures.
This dude is the greatest.
He got the Edison Achievement Award for his commitment to innovation throughout his career in 2015. But I mean, like, dude, he wanted to start the 3 Series. He did the Viper. He did the fucking Camaro again. He did the GTO again. Like, I think the guy's got a cock ring on that won't let the blood out till he goes fast. He's a speed demon, and he can't help himself, dude. Like, I think that's really almost all there is to Bob Lutz, is that motherfucker. I bet he was more into getting power to build fast cars than he ever was about getting power to make money or get women or a better house. I bet it was almost exclusively driven by the idea of going fast.
That's so great.
Yeah, the guy who did the Sierra Cosworth and the BMW 3 Series and M Motorsports and fucking crazy. Dude, that guy's responsible for most of the shit we've talked about since we've started recording.
He is. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
He fucking... Well, do you think that he's going to try to... Like... Do you think if he publicly came out and talked to the world about this Porsche stuff, do you think that people would change their minds?
No, it won't do shit.
How big of a dick he is?
Like, well, no, because I don't think anybody's confused that Porsche has like the best idea here. I think that most of the pushback is people like your buddy, who's a brilliant engineer, who thinks that the infrastructure in place will keep it from happening. Those are the same people that thought that, like, the argument for why this is going to work is the argument they pretend like is what makes electric work. And that is like, well, yeah, nobody thought the infrastructure for our horse and buggy streets was going to support cars. But the fact of the matter is it was so much better that it was about 5 years before the whole thing had flipped. And the synthetic oil, it's too good of an option on every level. One, no more drilling, no more hurting the fucking earth, no more pulling oil out that's not replenishable. Two, it burns clean. So there's no fucking emissions. So it's as clean as electric without having to spend the money in infrastructure. And the existing infrastructure for everything but the drilling is there for the delivery and consumption of this good. So it's still way fucking cheaper to screw over the Saudis, have a set price that's run by a corporation that's scared of ever being perceived as acting like Nazis.
Do you think it's going to cause another war though, if we just pull out of the Saudis like that?
What are they going to fucking do, dude? Throw Ferraris at us? They don't, they spend money like they're going to always have it. Like, they don't have a lot going on to fuck us up. They'd be able to maybe orchestrate like one big attack for one day. And then they'd be fucking broke. Cause we will have cut the line. Like, they're fucked if we all quit giving them money. They're not a little bit fucked. They're very fucked. They have no other resources. They don't have food. They're fucked if we pull out. They're all moving to Europe. They're fucked.
I think that's a problem, dude.
How is that a problem, though? These people that have been taking advantage of the whole planet for almost 100 years through a fucking, what do you call it? Not racketeering.
Monopoly?
No, I think it starts with a C. My brain's being garbage.
Conspiracy?
No.
Contraption?
No.
Catherine Zeta-Jones?
No, it's like a mob term.
Oh.
Not a cabal.
Oh. A coup?
What is it? No, not a coup, not a cabal. It's a group of fucking companies working together. Airlines do it too illegally. It's illegal. Hmm. And it's where you all come together and set prices and shit so that there's no competition.
Oh. I know what you're talking about.
And so they formed a company called OPEC to do that to the whole planet. And then have just bent us over backwards forever. So, like, no.
The Saudis started that?
Yeah. I don't know anybody. They're all Saudis who own the different companies that are in OPEC. I don't know any country that's going to have a problem cutting these people out of their finances. It'd be like if the only guy who sold weed in the town you lived in Florida also beat up your sister sometimes. And then weed became like you could option to legalize weed. And it was like, but we already got Jimmy. But yeah, but he beats up our kid's sisters sometimes. Yeah, but he's already here and it's what we know. Like, no, fuck that guy. Like, he might be a problem when we get rid of him. Yeah, for like a day. What's he going to do when he runs out of money next week? Starve to death. Fuck him.
I mean, I hope it works. I do. From what I'm seeing about it, I think it'd be dope.
It makes more sense.
I like to hear his opinion on it when you explain it that way, because I'm with you. It does make more sense.
Yeah,
it makes all the sense in the world. It's cleaner. It's renewable. It's everything that we need, and we don't have to change fleets. We don't need energy for it. We don't need electricity for it.
Yeah, you don't have to reinvent the grid. You don't have to re-put up different charge stations. You don't have to reinvent parking lots. You don't have to reinvent the shoulder on interstates to deal with electric cars breaking down. You don't have to do any of this shit. All you have to do is cut out these people that are going to be very mad and some Texas fucking billionaires that are going to be kind of pissed, but smart enough to probably invest in Siemens before we even see it happen.
If we can figure out which Siemens to invest in.
Yeah, but the Texas oil billionaires know where that is.
Yeah, they probably do.
But the Americans who are making money off of oil are going to follow the money because they already have enough money that they don't need to sustain it doing what they did to make it.
Do you think that this will be proprietary to
Porsche
and Siemens? Absolutely. Do you think other people are going to try to make their own fuel?
I mean, they can try, but if it's chemically similar and the Porsche gets the fucking legal patent on all this shit, which I think they already have, everyone else is fucked.
Are they going to then be able to set the price like OPEC?
Yeah, but that's why I made the point earlier when it's like, I'm kind of joking, but I'm not joking, that I think there's value in the new OPEC being run by two companies that are afraid of ever coming across like Nazis. I think there's a lot of value.
It's the one. Look, we're doing this to give back. We're sorry about that whole thing 100 years ago.
Not even that necessarily, but back. I don't think they'll ever pull Saudi shit where they're like, no, today we feel like the barrels are $500 more. Thanks. Like, I don't think they'll do that. Like, OPEC set prices based on whims. It was never based on supply. It was based on how the fuck they felt that day and how much money they thought they should make.
Period. We needed to build the biggest building in the world, so barrels are double. Sorry.
Yeah. And that's why when the Republicans opened up oil reserves here and started letting us drill for our own oil again, prices didn't really change between when we were in high school and when they went crazy again recently. But we went through the reserve. There's a bunch of political reasons for it. But OPEC has always set the price based on it's Tuesday, pay me, bitch. And I don't think fucking Siemens and Porsche will ever operate that way. They're genuinely companies that are going to be afraid of doing that. Their country's not allowed to have a military. There's a bunch of factors in why these German people, Porsche is run by a bunch of people that went out of their way and worked their ass off for a long time to buy back the family company that got ruined by Hitler. Like, I just think, and it's going to be run by a company with interest in selling cars, not just selling oil, because oil can sustain on like air travel and fucking boats and shipping and all that. But a company that's very much invested in manufacturing, like, what are they? The second biggest manufacturer in the world?
Porsche?
VW, Porsche, Audi.
I don't know.
Lamborghini.
They're pretty big.
Bentley, Seat.
Porsche owns Bentley too?
Yeah. VW owns Bentley. Porsche owns VW. They also own Bugatti.
Interesting. That makes sense because the W Motors, I mean, VW's got a lot of those too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all family cars, and I think that behind Toyota, I think they're the second biggest manufacturer in the world. They might be number one.
Well, I mean, it. I don't know. I hope they hurry the fuck up with it, because if they keep pushing this EV stuff, they have, what, 6 years before they're trying to mandate it everywhere? I think LA has already said they can't make any new EV cars. I'm sorry, gas cars or sell.
Yeah, this is 2024 is the last year to sell gas cars or gas only cars in California.
California. Yeah. So, you know,
I'm pretty sure.
What are we going to do?
2035 is the rest of the country. But I think this is going to be the first time since emissions became a thing where we don't all just follow California day one.
Do you think that Porsche can get this going fast enough?
Yeah. I think the only reason it's probably not going now is the thing you're talking about with lobbyists and people giving pushback and OPEC threatening politicians. But again, like, I'm high all the time and I don't work on this for a living. So like, if I can see all the holes and everybody's fucking argument against it, like, I really hope to God all of the world's politicians do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, unless we find out, like, Jeffrey Epstein worked for OPEC. And that's who's got all the files on what all these people did is OPEC. Like, then there's no other reason this shouldn't win.
Do you think EVs will become a novelty?
No. I think EVs will continue to be popular and they're a great idea. It's just that they should never be the whole grid. EVs were also part of the system when we invented cars. It was never really combustion only as the idea. It was steam, electricity, and combustion, depending on what kind of usage you were going to do. People chose, and then more people had need for combustion engine style cars back in the day, and the other ones had earlier engineering problems that were more catastrophic than combustion, so everybody went to combustion. But like, okay. I'm not one of those people that thinks like cars should be one way. I just... And that's why I get so mad when people are like, well, you just like going fast, so you think electric cars are dumb. Like, no, I think electric cars are the shit. They're very cool. It's just not – I never want to go on a road trip in an electric car. It's dumb as fuck.
Absolutely. Sure. Okay. I mean, well, I think – go ahead.
The reason American cars are better than everyone else's cars and have been forever, except when Nader fucked it up, and even then we had some of the best cars in the world, just not all of them. Is that like they represent an idea of freedom and this ability to travel and do whatever you want and go places in a day. You just go in your car and leave. And like, that is a very big thing to us in our unified giant piece of land that we've been able to go tip to tip in with cars since the 60s. Like, it's a very American ideal of that freedom. So for everybody to be switching over to these cars that have no freedom makes no fucking sense to me. Like, ride a bicycle. All you can do is go 200 miles and fucking just go 70. Who the fuck cares? Stay in town.
Well, yeah. That's where I think EV cars belong, is in town. I think that big cities should have a lot of EV cars in terms of, like, especially like rental ones. Like, you know, we got these little car to goes and this little smart cars. I saw those when I was in
Denver.
In Denver a bunch, yeah. And then I just think that like New York, Boston, Miami, Atlanta, these guys should have more of these electric cars that are doing like in and around town stuff. You know, where it's where that uses the most amount of gas. And so you can just use the power of the battery. You're not going much more than 200 miles a day in those short little trips, and that cleans up the air quality and the sound quality for those highly populated areas. That's where I think they should thrive, in my opinion.
Rental cars is tough because if you're like doing shit, it's hard to schedule in a place you're not from charging.
Well, but like a Toro type thing, like instead of not Toro, but like a car to go, where it's like, I only fucking need this for a day and I'm not going very far. I just need to go run a bunch of errands.
Right, but then do you drop it back off at a rental station where it charges? Because like Car2Go, you just left on the curb.
Right.
And then you could gas it up with like their code if you needed to. Yeah, I guess
that's true.
Yeah. But like that's where that becomes hard with travel.
Uber Eats. Again,
the freedom's gone. You need to have a plan. For you to be using an electric car, you need to have a plan. But I think people that live in a city should all have it. Everybody who drives on Broadway every morning to go 5 miles to work and then 5 miles home should have an EV. And then people are like, well, I also like going to the mountains. Like, cool, have a 4Runner too.
Yeah, I love two cars, dude. This should be the world of two cars.
It should be. It should be. People that don't want to give up the one should have both. It's not an either or. And as somebody who – people that are multiple car people, like, I don't know why other people don't see the value in that. And part of that is the thing
they think we're dumb. About,
part of that's what we've bitched about before, that salesmen don't do their fucking job. So the fact that everybody thinks they should have a four-door Wrangler where the top comes off that gets 22 miles the gallon and can rock crawl and also go to the mall really nice and has quiet tires that also can go over rocks, and that these companies bend over backwards to give them these products, that they think like, well, no, then I'm going to need an EV that serves every purpose. Like, no, you're not. How often are you really, you'll have another car that sits there, and then let your insurance company know this is how many miles I put on my EV and this is how many miles I put on my other car, and your rate will change as long as you're not parked on the street. I know that because I have multiple cars.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have my van, I got my Acura, and if I'm like doing a long haul, I'll use one of those two. If I'm going short, I'll drive one of the BMWs. It's great. It's great.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of BMWs, I sent you this link about a EV swapped 2002 BMW. I loved it. You hated it. Here's my thing. I think putting EVs into these old car chassis are phenomenal ideas. It's just fun. It's just as ridiculous as putting an LS into it as it is. He's so mad he dropped his mic. It's just as dumb as putting it an LS into it. It's not true, true to form, whatever. I think it's incredible. How fun would a 2002, like, I've been seeing, so my buddy, his friend at work, they're both engineers, he's swapping Tesla batteries into old VW buses, and I'm like, this is so fun.
Well, that is a good idea, because you know where the battery goes in a VW bus?
Probably in the very back.
And in the bottom?
Yeah.
Okay. Where does the battery go in a fucking 2002, bud?
I think they put it in the hood.
Above the belt line? Is it above the wheel hub? Yeah. How heavy are those fucking batteries?
I've never seen them.
They're pretty goddamn heavy. Look up the weight of a Tesla.
Is it heavy?
Honey, and then you have to take
is it really?
And then you have to take into account that the car's built like shit, so all the weight is in the battery. None of it's in the fucking shitty sheet metal or the plastic interior. It's all fucking battery.
Wait, is that the battery in the trunk though? Do they put the battery in the trunk?
Yeah, which is also above the belt line and hung out behind the axle.
And then what's this in the front?
More batteries, because you need a lot of room. That's why on electric cars that were engineered for it, it's the whole length of the car underneath the chassis.
But you don't think this is a fun feat of engineering? To have a car like that handles so well with fucking instant torque?
What the fuck are you talking? Handles so well? Did you not just see the box of bricks they put in that fucking thing? Handles so well? It handled well when it was engineered, right? You're talking about putting an elephant in the trunk and then fucking seeing how it handles around a corner. That's fucking crazy. That's why I don't like them. I don't have a problem with electric. I think electric's very cool. I've seen EV conversions where guys go out of their way to do it the right way, but it takes more money than God to channel your car, put everything underneath, build the chassis and the frame right so that everything's in the right position to where it corners and doesn't have fucking massive body drift everywhere you're fucking going. Dude, it's a bad idea to do it to cars that weren't engineered for it. Especially at high power. Now, if it was a rusted out 2002 and they put an EV motor in it that was good for like 60 miles a day just to make it a commuter and not wreck a car, great. But doing it to like make it a different kind of performance car is asinine. You have to put big batteries. And then if you don't use those big batteries, then the car is good for 40 fucking miles.
Do you think that they don't get much mileage out of this?
No, they get less than a Tesla, or they get the same as a Tesla, and those batteries weigh a ton. Have you looked up the weight of a Tesla?
That wasn't my question. Sorry. That was what I asked, but that's not what I wanted to ask. My question was, do you think they're using this is for anything more than just a cruiser?
Yes.
You do? Like, you think they engineered that to be more than just a cruise car?
Yes, dude. I think most people... And I'm not talking shit, because I'm going to include you in this one really quick. But I think most people just hear the numbers and what a Tesla can do and how quick the acceleration is and how it works and how good electric is. And then their brain just goes, a conversion. It's just like you just said, like it's just like an LS conversion. It's not true to the original, but it's the same idea. It is the same idea, except it's a bad fucking idea. Same way that like. If you're into bestiality, I guess the idea of molesting a mouse and a bear is the same idea, but one's not going to go well for you because of a weight distribution issue, Like, no, it's bad. Like, the okay, so the lightest Tesla is 4,000 fucking pounds. And the Model X Plaid with enough shit in it to go fast is 5,400 pounds.
5,400 pounds, really?
And it's all the fucking batteries, dude. Mm. And the motors. So if you're not placing them right, if you're not engineering a car around that structure, it's a bad idea. The reason that's a bad idea is the same reason it'd be a bad idea to try to put a unibody chassis under a 1927 Ford. And your brain can, because there's no way to do that. A unibody goes into the doors and into the fucking firewall, and it's part of the car. You can't take a car that's just stapled to two straight lines of iron and then make it work, not in a good way. You can mask it and make it look like you did, but you can't actually make that body work with that frame. And you really can't do that here either. And then Ford shows off their fucking F-100 Lightning Retro that they brought to SEMA with this motor. And they don't spend the time to explain to people, like, the reason it kind of works in a truck is we can lay the batteries flat in the bed. But good luck doing this in a regular fucking car. And I think it's a disservice to everybody when they pretend that shit like that's a good idea. Do you know what I mean? When they go to SEMA and they're like, look what we did. Now you can electrify anything you want. We built this truck, and trucks are a good idea, so everything else isn't. But you guys should buy these and put them in your cars.
Ford's just trying to sell cars because they invested so much goddamn money into...
Right, but they're trying to sell drivetrains for old cars. So they're not selling in the old cars and making any more money. So why not tell the truth of, like, we made EV conversions and you can do it to anything. But if you want it to be a safe, normal driver, you should do it to a pickup truck. Because then you can lay all the batteries down in the bed.
We should EV swap your new truck.
I'll kill you. I'll fucking kill you. Dude, I lost more respect for Robert Downey Jr. when his show premiered than I've maybe ever lost for anyone that lives in that portion of, like, my weird idolization part of my brain.
His car show?
If you can call it that, that thing where he ruins things by putting electric motors in them.
I love it.
Yeah, that 66 Riviera Grand Sport with a fucking 425, 465 in it that he ripped out and threw away to put electric fucking motors in it. That monstrosity of a television show. Yeah. Fuck that. Jesus Christ. You know what would have been a cooler show? Him giving those cars to, like, 20-year-old guys to get a young generation excited about cars and then paying their insurance for a year. I'd have watched that. Have his rich ass go give them away. If he didn't like them anymore and he wanted them ruined, go give them to a young guy. Worst case scenario, they die hitting a tree like they were supposed to.
Jesus, Jake.
That's how cars are supposed to die, dude. Cars aren't supposed to die in crushers. They're supposed to die on trees and bridges. That is the brakes.
And light poles.
No, that's not ideal.
Yeah, I can tell you that much.
Most trees have more give as long as you're not in the redwoods.
Yeah. You wanted to get a swap car, and you don't think that it's I think an L or a EV swapped E30. I think that'd be so much cooler than what you're looking at,
dude. It would be.
I'm just kidding.
No, because, like, you're not getting what, like, it would be if you were going to spend the $200,000 to do it right.
Because you want to put the batteries underneath the car,
right? Which on a unibodied E36 would involve, like, channeling it, taking the floor of the car up so you could keep the frame that's built into the door rails and the side frame part of the structure, building the batteries in there, figuring out how to stack them and cool them correctly so that that would work, fucking putting the motors in, re-engineering where the weight is so that it still handles correctly, reinventing fucking suspension springs so that it can handle that weight differential. Like, there's just so much involved with trying to do this right, and right now it's a bunch of nerds. And it's kind of the problem with Teslas and Mercedes back in the day, you know, between, like, the late 70s and the late 90s. But okay. Teslas, people that buy them want them to be great. And more importantly, they'd rather die than admit to anybody that they wasted money, including themselves. So people that get Teslas, if you ask them about the build quality, they'll be like, it's great. But then you can get in their car and just like shake their dash off. Because it's not great, but they spent $100,000 and they want to feel good about what they did. And it goes fast and the screen makes them feel like Iron Man.
Yeah.
And they so like in their mind, they're killing it. They got the
Tesla
thing.
Still got the it's the only EV company that's actually making money.
I believe Rivian's making money and Lucid make money.
Are they though?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't think that guy who just pissed off like a lot of the liberals who loved him is going to continue to do as well as he was doing either.
Yeah,
but
they're the only one that. So it says Rivian is not profitable with a net loss of $1.37 billion in Q3, just in Q3.
Well, that's their
making
first,
significant progress.
Yeah, I was going to say that's their first year, though. I think they're projected to be making money.
It's gross loss per unit sold improved to $30,600 in the quarter compared to $139,000 loss per car sold in Q3 of last year. So they're still not profitable. Tesla's still the only one who's making money.
Yeah. But they do that by putting out a really bad product.
Well,
imagine how much money you could make if every year you could put out a new comedy special. It was just a blank DVD. And people wanted to have
but
it
I don't think Tesla's that bad. I think that they're having some problems, but they're the only ones that are able to do the mass charging stuff. I'm just saying that because I kept my stock in Tesla and I want it to keep going up.
I'm happy for you, but you are wrong. I want to send you a bunch of articles right now.
I want it to keep going up.
I mean, how many of the deaths do you want me to read about to you that the Teslas have caused so far?
Just a third.
Yeah, I mean, there's the ones where the autopilot hit people and killed them in Florida. There's the ones in fucking Queens where the autopilot killed the lady driving it in Queens. There's the one in Jersey where the autopilot killed somebody. There was the one about 2 years ago where the axle deconstructed in a corner on one that had a couple hundred miles on it and killed the driver and caught on fire.
This sounds more like an autopilot issue than anything else.
No, it's also their build quality. It's not the software issue. It's fucking shit breaking down in between the brain and where it runs. They also got busted using like fake wood siding from Home Depot to wrap the batteries together. Do you not know about this?
No, I did not.
You should look at the pictures of that one. That's a real fun treat. People, when the guy first posted it on like Reddit, I think people thought he had like doctored an image or made it himself. And then other people started ripping into their Teslas and be like, oh, fuck. There's Home Depot really cheap vinyl wood siding holding this battery together.
I mean, it's still kind of.
You're out of your goddamn mind, you Stockholm Syndrome fuck. Did you just try to justify that shit being as part of a build on an electric car? that energy would be me popping the hood on your Z3 and seeing that like the whole intake was made out of duct tape and being like, I mean, it's working.
Hey, it's pulling in air, you know?
Yeah, no, fuck, it's a bad idea. An unapproved material wrapping a superheated fucking chemical composition is a bad idea.
Potato, potato.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The dash is shaking off. The fucking door panels being junk. The way you can push on the bumpers. They're fucking not built well, dude. They're Yugos. They're bad cars.
Just for now.
No. Not just for now. How are they going to turn that around? If they turn that, they'll have to restructure and go back to making much less money like they did when Elon had everyday business there.
Well, so you think this is Elon's fault?
No. I think when Elon left and became focused on SpaceX and is now just kind of a figurehead at Tesla and it started being run by people who know how to like make money but not don't know how to make cars, that they started to make budgetary restrictions that made the cars worse. And lowered production quality a lot so that they could report higher earnings on each vehicle, Whereas like Elon was doing what Rivian's doing, where he was like, no, we just keep making the vehicle right. The cost of production will go down as popularity goes up. And then at a certain point, we'll own the grid and the fucking cars, and we'll be making a fortune. And everybody believed in him when he was like loud about it at the beginning. So he was making money off of like being a public company and selling cars, but he was still taking like up front, dude, they had to build them on Lotus chassis. Like that guy didn't even have enough money.
Those were sick though.
Yeah. He was taking a loss on those, building them on somebody else's fucking chassis. Like that's normal. That's what I mean. Rivian's in their first year. I think they're projected to make money, which is all you need to keep investors at your back.
They made $23 billion in revenue in the third quarter.
Tesla?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure. But it's them. Like, but it's like Mercedes in the 80s and 90s, and it might even make it out of it like Mercedes did in the 80s and 90s, where they were putting out an inferior fucking product, but everybody had it in their head that it was the nicest shit, and then people who owned it wouldn't tell you how bad it was. So people who didn't have them still wanted them. And then when they'd get them, they wouldn't tell anybody how bad it was. It's for real, dude. That like weird desire to have a thing because it was a status symbol kept Mercedes alive. They should have died. That was a terrible fucking car company for 25 years. Terrible. They built real stinkers for a long time. Real stinkers. Some pretty stinkers, but like mechanically, electronically, bad cars. Bad fucking cars. But the fact that everyone was like, well, what else would I ride up to the country club in? Made them exist. And then they lasted until somebody took over who had a dream and then made it good for 5 years. And then it went back to being a bad car. And it's still getting by on the same shit again.
I want that kind of money.
Yeah, no, and I'm sure it's a fantastic car. Like the Mercedes doesn't have build quality issues like the Teslas have anymore. They just are too advanced is what they've done. And they're not making competitive powered motors anymore. Really?
Okay.
They started focusing on their GT cars for their fucking crazy horsepower.
It's the most of their sales.
It's that, and it's that they brought back like real GT cars. Like when we were in high school, they had the SLS and those fucking cars that were on Achievium. Like you couldn't fucking get those $2 million cars that they built 12 of. But now they're building $80,000 cars, AMG GTs, all these coupes that guys can have and you can afford and that are priced more reasonably and marketed towards like a sports car market instead of a supercar market.
Right.
That it makes it less necessary for the engineering to be doing their hot rod version of every fucking single model they build. You know what I mean? And even when they do, they're just making it a better car and a little bit faster instead of making it a fucking monster like they were there for a couple years. I mean, if BMW had a supercar program, like if the i8 wasn't a hybrid, if the i8 was an electric, a petrol M car,
if that dude, that would have been so fucking cool.
It would have been cool, but I'm almost sure it would have dumbed down what they were doing with the M2, and it would have dumbed down what they were doing with the M3, because those guys at the M division would have had something where they had no leash, and were allowed to go fucking hard in the paint, design the car around what they were doing. And that's what the speed division in AMG has at Mercedes now. Now they have dedicated vehicles that they can fucking hot rod. So then when they show up and they're like, hi, what can you do with the C-Class? They're like, put a supercharger on it and four-wheel steering. Bye. Okay, what else are we going to do to make less weight in the GT, guys? Like,
Is four-wheel steering really that much better?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's a lot better in corner. Depends on how you like to drive. I mean, if we put four-wheel steering on your Beamer, you'd be punching walls.
Because I just have understeer?
Well, you wouldn't be able to swing the rear end the way you're used to.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It follows. You make a track that your car follows instead of just one end adjusting. You're adjusting both because your rear steering's never full steering. I think the most any car's ever had is like 20%. And those are race cars. Gotcha. Most cars have like 5 to 15%.
Gotcha.
But GMC made trucks with it when we were in high school.
Well, then they gave it back. They gave it back to the Hummer, the EV Hummer.
Yeah.
They put four-wheel steering in that. I remember the GMC Sierra when they introduced four-wheel steering in that.
Yep. The Prelude had it in the 80s.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool.
If you bought the right spec Prelude in the 80s, it had four-wheel steering. The R34 GTR had four-wheel steering.
Gotcha.
And all-wheel drive with that Godzilla motor.
Godzilla.
Yeah, there's a long record of it being used. They use it in race cars. It's a lot safer because it makes you follow a track.
Gotcha.
Whereas, like, swinging. So, like, in those Sierras, it just make it less likely that your rear end would slide because it was steering the same way you were going. Instead of you dragging it. To where there'd be some, yeah.
It's probably better for when you're hauling, too.
Yeah, definitely. Gives you a little bit less resistance.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not a game changer. And that's the thing. Like, you're in a big body sedan that you're really only going to drive in traffic. How much is four-wheel steering going to save you? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
What if it helps you parallel park easier?
No, it doesn't. And really? in most of these cars, it deactivates under certain speeds. Your drive shaft has to be going a certain speed for it to enact. Yeah. No, I think, okay. I don't think I know. So like on the Sierra, and I don't know if this is true with the other ones, when you were at low speed, it steered with your tires. So it would help. Does that make sense?
No, I'm trying to.
So when your front tires go this way, your rear tires went that way.
Right.
Well, when you're at speed, when your front tires go this way, your rear tires go that way.
Weird.
Well, no, because you make a moon. So that's the turn. You have your rear wheels going this way and your front wheels going this way. So you're turning.
Oh.
But when they're all four going the same way, like the Hummer, when it crab walks, the Sierra, I think, did that a little bit where your tires came in the 10 or 15% or whatever.
Gotcha.
So it did make it a little bit easier to parallel park. But I don't think the Prelude does that. I don't know if the GTR does, but I think the GTR has the thing where it only works if you're above a certain speed. But that'll break.
Speaking of GTRs, dog, I saw Gran Turismo, the movie. Did you watch it?
No, I just saw that it was on Netflix.
I watched it. I enjoyed it. I cried like 3 or 4 times. Mostly at like, look at this guy following his dream, dude. He's fucking doing it. I'm like, you are such a fucking nerd, brother. You are such a loser. You're crying at this fuck. I mean, it's real story, but I'm like,
I was going to say, like, you cried at Rudy when you were a kid. Like, Rudy. you can't pretend like this is less of a sport. I think us as Americans were programmed to think like it's like cars are cool, but it's kind of gay that I got all choked up by Dale Earnhardt's speech. I ought to keep my feelings about how cool Richard Petty is to myself.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think there is a little bit of that. I think it's like being into soccer a little bit.
Yeah.
Where subconsciously you're just like, I don't talk about this in front of friends who have muscles. yeah. But I also am like a crazy, I believe in cars. I think car culture is like one of the most American things. And I think it's a shame that the people that are carrying the torch is everyone else in the world now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like if stand-up comedy just died over the next 20 years, and then all of a sudden, like, people are like, you know who the best stand-ups are is the Germans.
Like, they have what? The best sense of humor.
What the fuck are you talking about? They're terrible. The American, but yeah, it's like we've got jazz, rock and roll, and stand-up. And cars?
Alcoholism. Yeah.
Yeah. No, alcoholism came from a different country.
Yeah, probably, actually.
It's a tiny island with a bunch of redheads. They figured out that power water.
Yeah, they figured that juice out, baby.
Yeah, dude.
They figured out that juice.
Yeah, they invented a reason to need a proof.
Yeah. Well, Jake, I think we're going to have to talk about your E36 next week.
That's cool, because the farther we push it off, the less likely it is somebody will buy it before I do.
That's going to be crazy if you do purchase that. It's sad that it is probably going to be the same price that my car is worth, but who knows? Although it still needs some work done. We're going to talk about it next week.
Yep.
They're never going to know until we talk about it again next week. And then we're going to talk about a new revelation that I'm going to test out on my Z3 tomorrow.
Nice.
I think my builder was telling me if I lift up and I push down, because it's got this weird adapter on the T56 to work, I may be able to get it into gear, and it may just be not wanting to go into gear because you have to – this weird adapter. So I'm going to test it out.
Okay. If that works, though, that means there's an adjustment that could be made to that adapter plate that should fix it.
Yes, but I still it doesn't release until the very, very bottom of the floor, and that part sucks.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway – but that's all for next week. I'll tell you, because I'm going to drive it tomorrow when I get home to Texas.
Fuck yeah.
And in the middle of this, I just got me a spade date. So, but by the time this episode comes out, I will have done it.
Nice. So
Chicago, coming your way.
Hell yeah, baby. Portillo's.
Yeah, I'm going to go get some Portizzi's for Sheezy's.
So good.
Although I think it's just one day that we're there, and
there's a Portillo's just one day. Airport.
Is there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Both airports.
But I hope I get two dates. I don't know. They just said one day. Anyway, so that'll be fun doing spade again. But until then, we'll see y'all next week. Thanks for listening in. Next week
we're gonna talk about
Jake's car. It'll be dope. Goodbye.
Bye.